Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for coming to church tonight. Would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 in the New Testament. So we're talking about an interesting few verses here. Colossians chapter 3. It is page 903 and 904 in the blue Bibles in front of you. Colossians chapter 3, 12, looking at verses 12 to 15. This past week, I was away in Banff, Alberta, attending the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada District Conference for Alberta and Northwest Territories. And so pastors from all around the region gather, of course, together, and we meet at the hotel in there in Banff, and we have a series of sessions and meetings on how we can reach our Canadian culture and the state of affairs of the Pentecostal Church in Alberta and the Northwest Territories. And throughout the week, there's a few little breaks here and there where we have some free time. And so I know a number of pastors in the city here. We're good friends. And so my wife and myself and a few others and their wives went out shopping during the week on one day. Now, we didn't go shopping looking for anything specific. We went into some thrift stores in Banff, got a few little things, nothing much. We went to a few clothing stores by the beckoning of our wives, and we managed to leave unscathed. So we praise God for that. And then we went into the Hudson's Bay Company, not particularly a hot spot or an eventful place for my wife and I to purchase anything, but wouldn't you know it, it wasn't the women's clothing section that drew our attention there. It was the men's, as one of my own friends saw a coat that caught his eye. And it was a beautiful dress coat, a pea coat, I think they call it. And it was on sale. Uh-oh. And so he was trying it on, and wouldn't you know it, it looked great. And he had been familiar with an older coat. It's seen a few miles, a few too many winters, perhaps, and it was time to get a new one. But it was a little pricey still, so he was debating. But there was a few reasons. It was on sale, of course. He needed it, but it fit him like a glove. And as my wife and I and all of our friends were watching him try it on, we said, oh, you look a few years older, a few years more mature. It's perhaps a bit more suited to where you're at in life right now. And he ended up purchasing it. He tore off the tags, threw the old coat in a bag and started wearing it almost right out of the store. And at first there was a pop in his step. It was brand new. He felt good about himself. But he said actually at one point in the evening as we went out for dinner, he said, you know what? This coat is going to take me some getting used to. I'm not used to dressing up this much, he said. I have to grow into it. It's something nice and new, but I'm not used to it. And as we read Colossians 3, we're talking about a certain type of clothing that Paul would have us wear as Christians, not made with fabric or fine materials, of course, but with the fruit of the Spirit. But perhaps even if we've been following Christ Jesus a long time, it's still a little unnatural, even though it's brand new and befitting of us as children of God. Would you read with me Colossians 3, 12 to 15? Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. This is the word of the Lord. Day in and day out, these are the clothes that we are called to wear, even if it feels a little unnatural at times. So what is Paul saying here for us tonight? Well, number one, the clothes we wear means we bear with one another as God bears with us. And Paul says this in Colossians 3:12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves, say those words, clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Have you ever had a teacher, a boss, a manager, maybe even a parent? Don't raise your hands. An authority figure of some kind who, no matter how hard you tried to please them sometimes, you just always seem to fall a little bit short. I've had a funny story. I was working at a grocery store a number of years ago. I was brand new. I was working in the produce section. And my job for the day was to unload bananas onto the shelf. Not exactly rocket science. So you take the top off and you just start putting bananas on the shelf and make sure there's no bugs in there, because sometimes little critters creep in from the Californias or Florida or somewhere in the southern part of the world. So you inspect and you place, inspect and place. And there was one particular boss on the floor that I dreaded working for because he would not stop getting on my case. And so I'd be halfway through and doing what I thought was a fairly good job, and he'd say, "Karsten, pick it up. Pick it up." And he'd be yelling at me in public, and everyone could hear it as I was trying to unload these bananas. And I said, okay, I'll pick it up. So I started doing it faster. And he said, "No, faster. You should be done by now. On to the next cart. Faster. Okay, I'll do it faster." And as days and weeks passed at this job, I started to check the schedule and see who was on shift. And oh no, it's him. "Karsten, pick it up. Pick it up. Be faster." At one point, I tried to time him to see how fast he did it, and it was virtually the same as me. It got to the point when I said, "I might as well just dump the entire box of bananas onto the shelf and move on if that's what he prefers." But I didn't do that. Some people are very hard to please. And even the littlest things can trigger a conflict or a fault finding or a disagreement. Have you ever known somebody like that? In Paul's letter to the Christians in Colossae, he's talking about these new garments, new coats that we're supposed to wear as the people of God. And where does he start? If you look in your Bibles, verse 12, what does he say? He's talking about the fruits of the Spirit, number one. He says, clothe yourselves with mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, the indwelling fruits of the Spirit of God that he grows in us as we walk with him. And then he gets into a list of three things that are the expressions of these fruits with others. And the first one is evident. He says, what does he say in 13, verse 13a? He says, make allowance for each other's faults. Make allowance for each other's faults. In other words, clothe yourself with forbearance and tolerance and patience. That's something mandatory to wear. Literally in the Greek, it means making allowance. It means bearing with one another, bearing with, putting up with someone. Have you ever had to put up with someone? I have a sister, but I know people who have brothers, and they say it's a love-hate relationship. We put up with each other sometimes. We are bearing with one another, being tolerant in spite of differences and faults and quirks and mistakes, making room for those things even, without being a harsh critic. That's how we start wearing the clothes of the kingdom, and I think it's really key, isn't it? Because sometimes it's hard. It's hard to be tolerant of our differences with one another. It's hard not to find fault. Because people are very different than us. We are very different than one another. And yet this is only natural in the church. In Banff, one of the pastors there that I was having lunch with one day, he was telling me, he said, "You know, in my church, we did a personality test. And we did it as a pastoral staff in the office to see how we could better work together." Perhaps they had some disagreements. And so they're working through these things, finding out the different personality traits of each person, trying to discern how to better work together as a team. And wouldn't you know it, the person that he had to work alongside closest on the team was the polar opposite personality type from him. And it didn't take a test to prove that. They had a number of disagreements and differences. They didn't need a test to say that. But people are different than one another, aren't they? And yet, what do we expect in the kingdom of God? It's a church made up of every tribe and tongue and nation. And do we expect we're always going to agree on everything? Not always. Some people in the church community in Colossae, of course, Paul is writing this. Why? Because he says, expect actually that you will be able to find fault with things. People will disagree. People won't always get along. Many people will make mistakes and fall short. But in the scheme of eternity, how important is it? And how precious we are to one another. Is it that important to make a big deal out of the minutiae sometimes? Paul says, make room for faults and differences and bear with one another. And what does it look like when we get stuck on the little things sometimes? Sometimes, as a preacher, I sometimes will make mistakes when I speak. And something might slip out that's a little inaccurate or something that is a mistake. And I've had people, not necessarily here, you're a very great church to work for, at other places, somebody comes up, Pastor, that was completely wrong what you said. I said, I'm very sorry. I'm a human being sometimes. You know, but how often do we sometimes, we flag something, the smallest critique, and we'll put it in our pocket to pull out until later if we need to. But yet we all make mistakes. In fact, it's being human means making mistakes, doesn't it? So many times. Paul says, allow for the room to do that. That's the very basic piece of clothing you should put on. Sometimes the choices people make, we don't always agree with it. You know, I saw someone walk into a church one day with blue hair, with spikes standing up at the top of their head. And I could see a few people turning and looking, oh no, what's going on? Sometimes what we eat or how we dress or how we conduct ourselves can warrant our concern, but is it enough to bring up as a critique? We don't know the full story. Actually, if there's one constant in our world, it's how people look changes based on cultures and times and seasons and ages. And they may be different than us, and we may disagree, and that may be okay. Our relationships and peace is sometimes more important. In the early church, with the Jews and the Gentiles, do you think there were ever disagreements? We have the fishermen of Galilee coming down to Jerusalem as ministers of the gospel, meeting with the Pharisees and those who were converts, the very religious meeting with the fishermen. Do you think there was differences in dress code and diets and behavior and speech? I bet there was. What was more important was peace in the body. Peace and unity. The community of God is sometimes supposed to be allowing for differences. Amen? The peace of Christ. There's no place for harsh markers in the church, because I know someone who's been very patient with our faults. What did Paul say again in 1 Timothy 1:16? Listen to these words. He says, but God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Paul says, I am the prime example of someone who God's forbearance has gone towards, his mercy has gone towards, his patience has gone towards. How then can I withhold that from others over the smallest things? Our lives and our relationships are too precious to damage over small things, aren't they, church? We need wisdom. When and how to confront one another in love. Most importantly, to love one another. And when faults are happening, to make room for them. We're human beings. Paul says, bear with one another as God bears with you. Secondly, he says, clothe yourselves in forgiveness. We forgive one another as God forgives us. And he says this in Colossians 3:13. He says, again, at the end of verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults, that the first step. And then forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And you see, there's a progression there, isn't there? Because it's different. This very start of love is just to put up with somebody. If I can stand beside someone and not say something mean, that's the very first step. It's a different step forward, isn't it, to refuse to hold anything bitter towards them. This is the step that Paul says is next. It's the next one. Bear with each other, but beyond that, do not allow yourself to even think of something ill towards them. And don't hold on to it. They are too precious. And in the grand scheme of eternity, they're too valuable. I remember when I was in Uganda, I was visiting northern Uganda. And northern Uganda, a decade ago or more, had gone through a terrible war. Maybe you heard about it. In the northern region near Sudan, South Sudan, in Gulu, it's called in Uganda, there was a terrible militia group that went through the region, pillaging and burning and causing chaos, called the LRA, or the Lord's Resistance Army. They clothed themselves in a Christian name, in spite of being very non-Christian. It was a terrible thing. And the Ugandan military got involved and had to push them out. And the pastors in Uganda were praying for the relief of their nation and their people, as many people lost their lives or lost their homes. And we visited what they called IDP camps, and there were mud huts that housed about 8 people and thousands of them all over the north that the military built to house people that had been relocated. And as we went into the IDP camps, we went in there with a little bit of training. Because just days ago, our team, a director came in who does trauma counseling. He calls it counseling people who had been through war. And he did a crash course with us on how to lead a program and do sessions with people on trauma counseling. And let me tell you, I was 19 years old, and that was a little eye-opening. But as we went in there and we met people and we heard stories, our lives were changed. And you know, we heard stories of, in that program, the forgiveness of God working amongst even the most terrible, terrible betrayals and hurts in relationships. There was stories of child soldiers who had been recruited into the militia and later released, who had tried to become reintegrated into society, but of course they were the enemies of everyone now. And there were stories of these people counseling groups where someone is present who deeply hurt the family and friends of another person, and where they would forgive one another without even being Christians. The person whose family, they had lost relatives and loved ones, would forgive the former child soldier without even being a Christian, and the lessons would end with a call to repentance and the gospel. But the grace of God was at work before they were even saved. And so this is incredible, isn't it? Because what does Paul say? He says, forgive who? Anyone. Not just select people, not just those who are easy to forgive or even somewhat easy to forgive, anyone who offends you. And these people took it seriously, and they weren't even followers of Christ. They forgive war criminals. Forgive anyone offends you. And why? Because the Lord forgave you. And we've heard this teaching so many times before. It's like a garment that we can get used to wearing sometimes. It's a coat we tire of wearing because we put it on so many times. We know. But sometimes we forget to pick it up even still. We can become so busy with our lives even. And we can be hurt so frequently by other people that we just forget sometimes to forgive. I've done that. I'll rush out of church, rush home, do the baby routine, feeding baby number one and baby number two, putting baby number one, baby number two to sleep, eating supper. All of a sudden, I'm asleep and I wake up and I don't even realize I've been holding on to bitterness because I didn't make the time to forgive. Have you ever been there? It's a coat we can forget to put on. The cloak of forgiveness. And yet God's extension of grace to us is so remarkable, isn't it? Would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, 13 to 14. This incredible scripture, just a page over. Look what Paul says. Colossians chapter 2, 13 to 14. He says, you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. But then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave how many sins? All our sins. And then this, he canceled the record of the charges against us. If we could add up all the sins we would ever commit against the Father, how long do you think the list would be if it was on a scroll? I think mine might be going well out of this room, out the hall, down the street, and then some. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. He canceled the record. He forgave all our sins, past, present, and future. He doesn't hold on to them. And then bookmark that and turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 5. How do we respond to the records of others? Their long records of hurts and sins against us. 13, 4 to 5 in 1 Corinthians, what does he say? Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. The picture there is of tearing up the sheets that we can be tempted to write down and remember when people have wronged us. Tearing up the sheets and throwing them away as God has done for us. How far our sins from the east is from the west, and so he demands us to be the same. And he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And I might be tempted to say sometimes, well, Father, my situation is unique. What they did is unique to me. This is a first. It's going to take me some time. And the Father would say to me, Son, to me, no sin is unique, and I've forgiven all of them because I know every sin ever committed. And I might say, but they keep doing it. They keep hurting me. They keep backbiting and fighting and causing pain. And God would say, how many times have I forgiven you, Karsten, of the very same thing? He keeps no record. How can we keep a record? It's the forgiveness of Jesus Christ that we clothe ourselves with, because our lives are short and we are too precious to one another to allow such poisonous darts to get in the way. Amen? We're too precious. C.S. Lewis, again, he said this quote, remember? Every person you ever meet is either an eternal horror or an eternal glory. Everyone you come in contact with and rub shoulders with, we're too important to let unforgiveness fester. We forgive others as God has forgiven us. And lastly, number three, we clothe ourselves with the love of God. We love one another as God loves us. And Paul says in Colossians 3, 14 to 15, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always, always be thankful. And again, you see the progression, don't you? We start by just putting up with one another. I'll be okay, fine. I won't say anything negative, but I'll be here. And then we let go of the arms and we go to, okay, I'll forgive. But I'm not going to reach out to them. I'll forgive them. And then what does Paul say? No, it's not enough. Take the next step. Take the plunge and reach out in love. He will not allow our garment to remain incomplete. Like a crown put on love, real love for one another, it's what binds us together in perfect, perfect harmony. Not just tolerance or forgiveness, it's actually love that binds us together. And the image here in the Greek, above all, he says, above all, clothe yourselves. Above all, it's as if there's a garment worn on top of everything else. Like a crown, a worn on top of our dress that makes the rest of the outfit complete. Have you ever left home to attend a function or a banquet in a rush? What tends to happen when you do that? We usually forget something, don't we? And so I'll be watching the clock, trying to get things done. And, oh no, it's 4:45. And so I'll jump in the shower and then I come out and I have my outfit picked and put them on one piece by piece and item by item. And I grab my shirt and tuck it in, my pants and my jacket if I can remember it. And I grab my wallet and head out the door and I'm sitting in the car and I'm just checking quickly, do I have my wallet? Do I have my keys? Okay. And then we go, and we're driving, and we're driving, and we get there, and I take off my jacket, and all of a sudden, I forget, my belt's missing. How will my pants stay up? Thank the Lord, I'll have my belt on today. We can sometimes forget the most important piece because we're so rushed, we forget to clothe ourselves completely. And Paul says, you can't leave this one at home. It's actually love that completes the outfit. It's the most important piece that holds everything else together. And back to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3, we see this. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 3. We know these words. We hear them read at weddings especially, but they're for every part of our life as Christians. Paul says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And then down to verse 13. Verse 13. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? Love. What's the point of tolerating other people if it's not out of love for them? What's the point of forgiving other people if it's not out of love for them? I worked in a group home. I know there's a number of people in our church that have done this too, caretaking for people with disabilities, people who can't care for themselves. And you know, at first it was a job. I was just trying to make a buck. And so I'd be doing the hygiene routines, and I was cooking meals and driving them to and from different events to get them out into the world and doing things. And the disabilities range from fetal alcohol to autism spectrum disorders to nonverbal communication individuals. And, you know, but over time, after a few years of working there, and when it was time to leave, and I moved to Toronto right after that, I was saying goodbye to the different people in the home. And you know who the hardest one to say goodbye to was? There's a fellow who sat on the couch, and he would just kind of rock back and forth listening to music. He didn't speak a word. He made noises the best he could with the verbal ability he had, but he didn't speak, and he was partially blind too. He was the person with the greatest disabilities, but I actually cried saying goodbye to him more than anyone else. And that showed me perhaps just a little bit at that point that the fruit of love had worked into my heart, because I was bearing with, tolerating, beyond that, learning to love him without getting anything back in return. And what is love? Agape love. I think that's what it is, isn't it? When we come away from trying to bear with others for our own good, forgive others to feel better, we come to a person when we learn to love them without wanting anything else back. And that's the love that binds us all together. How did God send his son to die for us? Romans 5, verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. And Paul says, clothe yourselves in love, which above all binds us together in perfect harmony. The title of this short sermon is Practice Makes Perfect. And what do I mean by that? Do I mean that the more we work on ourselves and practice hard at being Christians, the more perfect we'll become? No. It's the atonement of Jesus Christ that makes us perfect before God. Amen? That's justification. What Paul is saying is putting into practice these things will lead to perfect harmony in the community. And that's the word he uses, perfect harmony. Perfect harmony. That when we have our coat on of forbearance and forgiveness and love, just perhaps we will treat each other as the gifts we are to one another. And I'll just close with this in 2 Thessalonians. As Paul talks to the church, as he is saying goodbye to them, they are a gift to him. 1 Thessalonians, rather, 2:17. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again." And then verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 2. "We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will our proud reward and crown be as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns?" Can you say these three words with me? It is you. You are our pride and our joy. Would you stand with me, saints? Pastor Jason, can you lead us in a song? And just before we do that, let's just take a minute and pray and seal this message in our hearts today as we focus on what it means to love one another again. Heavenly Father, it's a simple reminder tonight of the clothes we're wearing. And we are reminded today of all days how precious life is and how precious we are to one another, Father. And that our time together on this earth is so valuable. That it actually meant to Paul everything. He said to the Thessalonian church, he said, "It is you. You are our crown and our joy. You are our pride. You are the reason we've done everything we've done. Because of our love for you, you are in our hearts." And so, Father, would we remember to treat one another with tolerance, allowing for faults, not critiquing and being harsh markers, God, but bearing with one another as Christ Jesus bears with us. And would you help us to forgive one another from the heart, Lord, as you've forgiven us of so many things. You canceled the record of debts against us, and you say to do the same for others. And most importantly of all things, would you give us the love that you have, Father, to love one another in such a way that it would be selfless, not expecting anything in return, but being bound together, seeking perfect harmony and perfect unity as the people of God, because that's what we are. Clothe us in your love, O Lord, that we would comfort one another and love one another as the children of the King that we are. In Christ's name, amen.